keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all. This is Madison Moffat, my pronouns are she and her, coming to you live and direct as part of 3CR Trans Day of Audibility, which started at midday today and is going to go right through to 6 p.m. all throughout the day. And what a fantastic program it's been for us so far. And Sally talking with a cohort, one particular person, about the needs of middle and aged and senior people within the TGDNB culture and trans community specifically, which I think, you know, is just a very important topic, very rarely spoken about, both in the broader queer community and within the trans community. And what a guest Robbie Haywood was, you know, just sharing those insights. We had Priya from our Thursday breakfast program with a really interesting take alongside their guest, Dr. Matthew Krugman, about trans issues in sport and specifically around community footy. I hear a lot about trans and sport, but to hear Priya engaging with someone about a specific type of sport and how it plays out within that league, I found really fascinating. And of course, we've just had Elysium, who is from the Vibe Consultant, and with some live music, and engage with the ever-compelling Race Rage, so about art and activism. So again, about the Trans Day of Action. So yeah, I think it's been a wonderful spread for you so far, and I can only hope to match it with what we're going to be doing today. I say we, I'm currently in the studio alone, but my colleagues are on their way. Just a little mix up in terms of our starting time, but that's okay. And basically what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be playing some clips from various commentary and discussion that's taken place, particularly over the past 6 to 8 months within the Queering the Air broadcasts, taking clips from those for where TGDNB community members have given and shared at their personal reflections within the context of their specific subject area about the importance of being seen and heard. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a valuable offering to the whole point of Trans Day of Visibility, which is on Monday, and the Trans Day of Audibility, which, thanks to 3CR, is today. So what we'll do is we'll listen to those clips. That's going to be in about 15 minutes' time. We'll listen to those clips. And then from there, as a panel, myself, Oscar and Atlas, so myself and two trans, wonderful trans mask fellows, we will engage in conversation further and reflecting on the views that were shared by those people within our community. Great stuff. Okay, So before, one of the messages that I always like to start with at the moment, prior to a show, is to ask you to, you know, show your solidarity and subscribe to 3CR today. Or, indeed, if you're already subscribed, renew your 3CR subscription. We had our subscription drive in February, and we're also extending that as a general message throughout March, because it really is very important. We don't get a lot of funding from elsewhere. Our funding, our survival, very much depends on the subscriptions that we receive from the community. We are well and truly community radio, including in terms of how we're funded. So show your solidarity. Do join or renew your 3CR subscription. Show your support for community radio. And you can subscribe by calling 03 9419 8377, or visit 3cr.org.au, or drop into the station at 21 Smith Street in Fitzroy. Now, on to our regular segment.
What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Atlas has just arrived, and they're about to take their seat. Hey, how's it going, Atlas?
Good. How about you?
Hang on, I'll whack you on.
I'm going very well.
Yeah, just a little bit rushed, but yeah, that's good.
That's fine.
That's fine. And, you know, even though there was a bit of confusion, it's all good on your side, because you are meticulously early, I believe, in terms of one's habits.
Yes, always early. Got to be early.
And as to an extent, I suppose, it's also to deal with situations where, you know, there's been a misunderstanding.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fantastic. So while you're here, I think I'll get people to introduce themselves as they enter. What do you reckon? I think they'll make things nice and dynamic.
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Okay, cool. So I'll get you to introduce yourself, of course, with the names and pronouns.
Yeah, so I'm Atlas. I use he, she, and they pronouns.
He, she, and they.
Yes, can't get it wrong.
Can't get it wrong. Do we have a situation where at times you have a preference, or is it any of those at any time?
Any of those at any time, really.
Oh, beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Because, I apologise. I described yourself and Oscar as being trans-mask fellows.
I am trans-mask. I do identify as trans-mask.
Okay,
but
cool.
I'm more gender fluid, but
yeah,
I take testosterone, so it's kind of...
Yeah,
it is in the trans mask realm, but it's still non-binary.
Yeah. I mean, for myself, even though I use she, her, I'm very much fluid.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very rarely mask these days, except perhaps for my voice. Sometimes I got that, you know, that Australian twang that, you know, can be associated with a certain Aussie male.
Yeah, I mean, I know plenty of cis females that have that same tone, so...
Yeah, well, my mother has not quite the same as me, but because she hasn't had, you know, a life of about 40 years of testosterone pumping at a certain level through her body like I did before going on HRT. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar. Yeah.
No. I've come to appreciate my voice, actually, you know.
It's rather nice.
Oh, thank you very much. Yours is quite vibrant and lovely as well.
Oh, well, thank you. It's much better now that I'm on testosterone.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things about trans mask people, that if they take tea, their voice will change.
Yes.
And very, very rarely will it go the other way around for trans femme people when they take estrogen.
No, that involves a lot of actual vocal training and sort of working on it constantly. Yeah,
and even surgery to stitch up the vocal cords so that they're a bit tighter.
Yes.
Yeah, which can have issues, like all surgery.
Like any surgery any surgery generally, but particularly trans surgeries, there's a lot of room for error.
I run out of breath you know. So then I was sort of advised, well, if you're someone that runs out of breath, probably not a good idea to be stitching up, you know, the part that, you know, to make it tighter around your throat.
Yes, absolutely not.
Anyway, now, the reason why I thought it would be good to have a more extended introduction and chat, introductory chat with Atlas is because, and I'll dob them in, they are now a very much a part of the Queering the Air team.
Yay!
Yes. So, you know, at the moment, it's myself, it's you, Atlas, and it's and Eva, who was on last week.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure if Eva's showing up today, but, you know, there's been a bit, you know, a bit of toing and froing there, which is understandable. They've just wrapped up a production, a theatrical production, so I think they might have needed a bit of a rest.
Yeah. I can imagine. I used to do theatre myself and, yeah.
It's exhausting.
It's completely exhausting.
Yeah, so they're doing things from the production side and on something that they wrote.
Oh, wow.
I know that, you know, I think they've also did some direction around it. I mean, wow. It's a real, you know, it's a real challenge and, you know, time consumer.
Yeah, taking on more than one role in a theatre production, that's intense.
Yeah, and also to be joining us, although I do notice that their chair at the moment is empty. No, but they said that they will be here soon.
Beautiful.
Oscar is, of course, a permanent fixture now of Trans Creator Radio, but I think by virtue of that, like any Trans 3CR presenter, as far as I'm concerned, they can always consider themselves to be a guest presenter here on Queering the Air. And drum roll, please. Here is the offender themselves.
It's me.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. You know how it goes.
I like your Bratz t-shirt.
Thank you, me too.
Do you have Bratz dolls?
I used to back in the day.
Ah, yeah, cool. So we've introduced ourselves. I'll now leave yourself to do the same.
I'm Oscar. I am 31, I like walks on the beach and hanging out with my cat.
Do you like pina coladas?
Sometimes.
What about getting caught in the rain?
Yes, love it, love it. 10 out of 10.
Cool. And, yeah, what can I say and what can I do other than welcome Oscar and Atlas?
Thank you.
Hooray.
Hooray. We're together. Together again. And now we're going to start our segment. I already did the intro, but I'm using the same intro as I did on Friday because I do like it, Oscar.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought, you know, I'll just share that with you. All right. So let's do the intro again.
What's going on?
And I like to play it twice.
What's going on?
I think it's a fair question.
I'm not sure how you got audio of what's going on in my head, but good on you.
Now somebody here, as Oscar did, you know, when I played it last, someone now needs to ask me what is going on.
Oh, what is going on?
Well, may well you ask, Atlas. Let us find out.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it works. So, now, something actually quite serious. I have been asked by our friend of the show, Alex Lee, to emphasise that the collaborators that of the groupings that Alex holds and also their book company, name of which escapes me, but there's a book series of queer anthologies that are done by Alex, and a couple of minutes into the future, I'll actually clarify who they are. I'll just look them up online. But basically, they also, as part of their efforts, engage with people from the Democratic of Congo, both LGBTIQA+ broadly and also specifically some trans people. And they've asked me to extend a very important charity. A charitable fund that's been set up. So to explain, the Democratic of Congo's Savi Azbul Ngo LGBTQ are in fear for their lives at present. And essentially over 200 trans people have been subject to sexual violence following the occupation of their region by M23 forces. So, you know, it's getting really quite ugly in that environment for them. So many Coloured Sky are taking donations to help fund the human rights defenders to evacuate to safe houses. So that the URL is www.givenow.com.au/manycoloured sky and enter DRC in the direct your donations. So it's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, very worthwhile cause.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it just makes us appreciate, I think, how lucky we are. Definitely. Here in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah. Now, also, Fag Dyke is a trans plus social. I'm seeing some nods. Do tell.
I've never been. I just keep hearing about how great it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have also not been, but I've heard a lot about how good it is.
Yeah.
And even though it's called Fag Dyke, it's like trans plus social. And it's a trans plus networking and social event.
Yeah. Yes. My understanding is that it started out as like a trans femme event, and it's like expanding to just like... Come along.
Trans plus.
Yeah, trans plus.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I do believe it's still skewed quite to the trans femme side, so if that's what you're into, then that's the place for you. But there are quite a lot of the community that come along now.
Yeah, so in terms of who's invited, it's extensive.
Yes.
Across everywhere. Cool. So basically, it's on every first Wednesday of every month, so this time it's going to be on Wednesday the 2nd of April, 2025. 7 p.m. till 11 p.m. It's free entry at The Curtain, which is at 29 Lygon Street, Carlton. This is a low expectation space. It's come as you are and make some new friends. Drop by for as long or as little as you have the capacity for. There's no dress code aside from venue regulations. So, you know, not no shoes, mate, and that sort of thing, you know.
Wear some clothes.
Yeah, wear some clothes, you know. That's no singlets, you know, or... I don't know, you can probably wear singlets underneath a shirt. Anyway, supportive friends, but no singlets worn as shirts, that sort of thing, you know. You know, no thongs.
You can wear a singlet, surely.
Maybe I'm showing my age again.
Yeah,
you know, because I tell you what, once upon a time, yeah, if you, even at a surf club, if you turned up, you know, with just wearing a singlet, you'd be told to go away.
Rude.
Yeah. I don't think that's the case so much anymore. I think you can wear a singlet.
Okay, so scrap the no singlet.
Hit us up if you have opinions about singlets.
Yeah, yeah. Make inquiries with The Curtain prior to going with singlet. Yeah. Maybe that's what I say.
Ahead of time. Call to make ahead sure of time. Your outfit is to spec.
That's it. Get your singlet related due diligence in check. Yes.
I'll be wearing 10 singlets.
Okay. The Curtain's are now going to get all sorts of weird phone calls.
Come at me, Curtain.
Anyway, supportive friends and partners are welcome to accompany, and if you have any queries, please reach out, and the details will be on our podcast page. So, the TGD Book Club. Now, they're going to be together on Saturday the 12th of April from 1 p.m. till 2:30 p.m. Where? Well, I'll tell you. At Thorn Harbour Health, that's where, 200 Hoddle Street in Abbotsford. And also available online. And there's a link that will be provided as part of the podcast page. So there you go. Ahoy. Come and join them.
Yeah, and you can be as late as you want.
You can be as late as you want.
You can get there 5 minutes to the end. You're still so welcome there.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for you.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's just your kind of gig.
Does come in handy for me.
Yeah, we've got two ends of the spectrum here today, chronically early and chronically late.
Both definitely the spectrum.
It was hilarious. I got on the phone to Atlas, and it's like, I said, oh, what time do you reckon you're going to be here? And it's, oh, and then as it turned out, because they were going to be here at 3 anyway, the impact was zero about the fact they thought they meant to be here at 4.
Well prepared.
So well prepared.
Always. I was a Boy Scouts, so
oh.
Be prepared.
Yeah, there you go. Dib, dib, dib.
Dub, dub, dub.
So, join Transpired tomorrow for the launch of Transpired, a stunning coffee table book celebrating Melbourne's vibrant transgender community.
That's us.
Yeah. That's us.
Celebrate us.
Did you know about Transpired?
No, I did not.
No, I found this on Facebook.
Huh.
I thought, this has got to be promoted.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Featuring powerful photos and personal stories, Transpired honours the journeys of those who inspire us with their strength and resilience. The evening will be filled with excitement, including a runway show, live music, and a dynamic performances.
Ooh.
Yeah, come celebrate diversity, creativity, and the beauty of our community. Hang on a minute. That's our line. We say things like that. No. What that means, of course, is that they are, of like mind, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah. It feels warm in the cockles of the heart. Haven't you heard of the word cockles?
I have, but hearing warm and cockle in the same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it's a thing. It's fine. So they are basically open at 7 p.m. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. Yeah.
Get there early. Get there at 7.
Indeed.
Get there at 7, even though you think it starts at 8.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
You're there 6.
And with it being Trans Day of Visibility tomorrow, that also means that it's the Affirmation Station's grand reopening.
Hooray!
Yeah, so they are reopening the Affirmation Station, hence the term grand reopening. And that's why they're calling it that. So it's
wise.
It is. So basically, this is how they can you can experience the expanded Affirmation Station. So, they've got new rooms, larger rooms, larger, presentation spaces. So I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it looks like a really cool space. And it's also raising funds for their services, for their expansion.
Yeah. And it's not just a footprint. I'm using my property services jargon now, the geographic footprint change, but it's also, they're going to be enhancing their services as a result because they're going to be able to.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Even bigger Op Shop, which I'm so keen for.
The Op Shop is so good.
Yeah, that's right. So are they going to expand that? We'll find out, I suppose.
I think they are.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've gotten quite a few handbags there.
I've gotten so many clothing items there. I recently got a cardigan, and everywhere I go, people are like, oh, my goodness, that cardigan. And I'm like, I know. Affirmation Station.
25 years of TGV advocacy and support. How about that? They've been around for 25.
That's five seems... more than me. Wait, five less than me.
Five less than you.
About 20 more than me, really.
So, basically, if you want to get there, you've got to get a ticket. And that the solidarity ticket for Allies is $50, but it includes a $10 gift card to spend at the Affirmation Station Op Shop, which, as we have already discussed, is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good haul, even for $10.
Yeah. And you'll probably get something worth $50 or $60 or $70 with that $10 gift card, with the stuff they have. Joke. No hyperbole. No hyperbole.
None of that.
No.
None of that.
None of that for me. Not here.
If the solidarity ticket for people within the TGD community is $20, and it includes, again, a $10 gift card to spend at the Op Shop. And if it's unwaged, you get in free.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think that, that is required.
Absolutely.
The marginalisation, in when it comes to how it is that people tend to attract an income in our society, mm-hmm. towards the TGDNB community is considerable. So I think that's really important.
Completely. You may not know the answer to this, Madison, but that brings up the question of, do those with free entry still get a $10 gift card?
No.
No, fair enough.
I don't think they do. don't think it is.
Gift cards for everyone.
Don't say that.
No, okay, I'm in trouble.
You're in trouble again.
That's what I do, apparently.
It is what you do.
I think that's just where you live.
I live in trouble, yeah.
Yes, yes. This has been...
What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to go on now.
What's happening?
We're going to get on with the rest of the show.
Oh, exciting.
So, the show today is going to be about listening to people from a broad spectrum of the trans community. And we're wanting to sort of listen into what they've had to say. And a lot of these are excerpts from previous episodes of Queer in the Air. So as a result, I thought what was really great about this is if I'd gone out as a Vox Pop and just asked a whole load of people over the last week, you know, what does visibility mean to you? Right, you'd probably get very similar answers, you mm-hmm. know. But I realized that in getting these excerpts, what it meant was that I was taking from those interviews the bit where, because I tend to ask the question in one form or another, you know, the bit where they start talking about being visible and what that looks like, and, you know, both individually and communally, but it was within the context of the specific reason why they were there. So it actually, you know, although some of the answers sound the same, if you hear them from the context of why they were on the program, they're different perspectives. Mm. Yes.
Mm, love that.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to that. What? Atlas is allowed to respond like that.
Yep. I'm just smiling. I'm just happy. I'm having a good time.
I mean, you know, I mean, listen to me. I go, yes.
Yes. Vocal stimming.
Yes. Yes, we discussed that. It is. I'm. The more I think about it, I think it is vocal stimming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so what too. I'm doing.
Yeah, I do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Ah, heavens to Murgatroyd.
Sexy.
Exit right even. Oh, a bit of Snagglepuss there. Probably get hit for copyright. Anyway, so I'm going to also briefly introduce some of these so that we can get that context. Mm-hmm. So let's go. And we'll start with Sam Elkin. And the context here was that Sam was talking for Queer Histories, Queer Futures, the 3CR podcast, about notions of queer utopia and queer futures.
I wish I was an optimist and that we were heading towards queer utopia, but I am really concerned about the rise of the right, both in Australia, obviously in the United States and around the world. I think, you know, you just have to look to the US, seeing the, you know, rolling back of protection, you know, of equality provisions and things like that. You know, I feel like you could probably get up an asylum seeker claim for a trans person living in the United States or certain part of it now. Like, it's just not safe. There is a rollback going on around the world, and it's just a question of whether or not Australia will, you know, buck the trend and stay true with LGBTIQA plus rights, or whether we start losing ground. And I feel like we're in a real question mark time at the moment.
And this one's from Claire from the Transgender Diverse Book Club, and then talking about visibility from the context of a communal reading, you know, as a communal function, and how that helped people be visible.
I'm Claire, pronouns they, them. I'm a librarian by day and archivist by night, and book club organiser by night as well. It's a space for maybe more quiet people. I'm also neurodivergent and disabled. Like, it is, well, we hope that it's more accessible than some other alternatives. I guess you can still connect with community, but also with books, and you can hide behind them a little bit.
Hide behind them, yeah.
So it's not as loud, I guess. We do have quite a few librarians.
I ask you to read your T-shirt? The T-shirt says...
The library made me gay.
Excellent. Yes, indeed. And what would you say about librarians as a personality type? Because I reckon they're brave.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
You know, in the cultural space and the way things are going at the moment, I think you've got to be incredibly brave to be a librarian.
Yes, it is pretty tough to be a librarian at the moment. Yeah, I think we do care a lot about people. That's probably a fundamental thing more so than books, I would say. Yeah, in libraries, in all, because there's so many different types of libraries. And I think caring for people and communities is fundamental. But I guess the way that we show that care is through information and books and knowledge.
Yes.
And yeah, there are definitely other ways to do it, to bring people together. But that's kind of the way that we do it in libraries. Bring people together with information and with each other as well.
And we also, earlier in March this year, we did Vox Pops for the Pride March. Oh, no, February, for the Pride March. And, you know, as would be expected, some of the commentary from some of the trans people that we spoke to ended up lending towards discussions about being visible and being proud.
Okay, my name is Ryan, and my pronouns are Z, and or he. And we represent the libraries in Victoria. It's important because there's a lot of people that don't have access to computers and resources, and with the cost of living rising. And we also represent people who live in isolated situations, and we want to welcome everybody to the library, no matter what background they're from, etc.
Very important work and very important to represent. Thanks for your time.
No problems at all. No problems at all. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Sophie, she, they pronouns, and it's important for Headspace to march at Pride because one of our most major audiences is young queer youth, and it's good to represent that group that we, you know, advocate for and support throughout the community.
Hi, my name's Monique Toms, my pronouns are she, her. We all deserve to be treated as equals, and this is one way of treating us as equals. And it's good to see so many faces here. This is my sixth year of our march. And yeah, it's good to be here and looking forward to the rest of the day.
I'm Graham Aguirre, she, her. I'm with Seahorse Victoria. It's a balance between all sorts of things. Being out and loud and proud, as they say, is very important for visibility and solidarity amongst a whole range of the alphabet, but also other activities such as just having private meetings for those who are still afraid to come out is very important as well. So it's a big combination of everything.
We might actually, cut and have a bit of a discussion. I was going to just play them all, but I just realised it's a lot of content actually, isn't it? It's like bang, 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 bang. So I thought, you know, maybe we'll chat, as we go through one third, two thirds, and to the end. What do you reckon?
Yeah, sounds good. No, not
you're not going to do that.
You,
okay,
actually.
All right, I'll put it on right.
No,
now.
No, no.
Hang on.
What's going on?
What are we going to do?
What's going on?
How are we doing this?
What's going on?
Oscar won't agree to anything.
Just ignore Oscar and go ahead with what you want to do.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, so it's already, I think, you know, there's a bit there around just, you know, the obvious, which is in being there means being present then means being seen, which then, you know, has a validating effect, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a process.
I think the contrast between the sort of what Claire was saying about being able to hide behind books,
yes, and still be visible.
And still be visible. And, like, you know, there is that, like, the stereotype of being, like, out and proud and loud and in your face about it. And there's also part of the equality is not having to do that.
Yeah.
And still being seen.
Yeah, which is sort of touches on something that Monique said, you know, just very plainly, you know, this is a way that we are treated as equals.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, you know, what predates this? I mean, apart, it would be staying at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of who you are.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, I like Monique. Monique Jade has a way of cutting through, you know, and just, you know, very plainly stating how she sees it.
Mm.
Did really well there.
Yeah, straight to the core.
Yeah. What do you think about Sam's contribution there? It's sort of... Sam's about, you know, the queer utopia and, are you particularly, how are you feeling? We don't want to talk about direct federal politics on this program, but how are you feeling around the whole alt-right at the moment, you reckon, in terms of visibility and risk?
being visible sounds risky right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much in Australia, but definitely overseas. And there is that fear that it'll come back over to Australia as well and have that.
Yeah, we've seen this sort of stuff spill over, haven't we? Like, we saw some of the stuff that, you know, some of the people, the cookers, you know, as some people we refer to them as, you know, quite a Elysium or a Race Rage, I can't remember who, but one of those two, I think, referred to them as cookers. I thought that was great. It might have been Priya. So I'm bringing it back too. But what they were sort of protesting about, you know, during the pandemic, you know, and the lockdown seemed to be migrated over from the US. You know, and I think there's, you know, real risk of that happening here again, this time about the whole anti-trans stuff and anti-woke stuff in the US.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember seeing the protests back around the lockdowns and the people just like protesting masks and things like that. And yeah, it was a direct import from the US. So there is that real fear that we'll have another direct import.
Yeah, yeah. Made in the USA, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, I wish I was an optimist too.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not feeling that way though? You hope, but you're not?
Well, I think hope is a discipline, and I am choosing to hope despite it all. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is. It is, isn't it? You know, it is a discipline. And I think that, you know, if we lose hope, then where does that leave us?
Yeah, like we exist either way. So,
yeah,
you know, I hope we get to keep existing.
That's actually a nice little segue into the next round, because it starts with Rianne with a few points on visibility that actually was on Queer in the Air about 2 weeks ago.
So what is PeerEd? PeerEd is a range of workshops that we offer at Thorn Harbour Health.
Right.
They are intended for different parts of our communities. We kind of are unintentionally therapeutic in the way of, like, sometimes just being around community is therapeutic enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes that experience of hearing someone share something that connects with your own experience is therapy.
Hmm.
Or just walking into a room and being in a room full of people who share a similar identity to you, that can sometimes be therapeutic enough. I think it continues to surprise me how many of us there are, and yet how many of us still feel very isolated and still feel very alone in our experience and still feel like sometimes we're the only person in the world who feels that way.
Yeah.
And sometimes being in a group like a peer ed group is just a chance to be like, whew, actually, someone's just said something that really resonates with my experience and I don't feel so alone in that. I think that's a nice part about Novus as well, is being co-facilitated at the moment by mature age trans women, is that younger people can come into that space and see out mature age trans women living their best life. And that, again, like, you know, that sort of intergenerational aspect is there as well. We have really diverse group of people joining each of those group, diverse ages, diverse identities. This bloodline that we have, you know, is to share our knowledge with each other and share our care and share our love, because people will come for it.
Yeah.
People will try and take it. There's no way.
No. They are coming for it.
Yeah. And we're not going to let them.
Yeah, they're coming for it, and we're not going to let them. We're going to continue with our visibility and with our pride. So very similarly, Stacey now, who very briefly talks in terms of their perspective as someone who's been through the incarceration and probation systems, and what the importance that they place on themselves being heard, and therefore also the people they share their platform with being heard as a result of their prison newspaper.
With About Time, the newspaper.
Right.
For me, it's quite widely read by the people who are in custody. So I want them to see that their voices are actually being heard.
Yes.
And a lot of the time I'd gotten mail back from people saying that what I'd written resonated with them so much, they were actually going to show their families because they couldn't find the words themselves.
Mm.
They couldn't articulate how they felt.
Right.
But reading my writing, it resonated. And so they could actually just show their families and say, like, read this and you'll get a better understanding of what it is I'm enduring. And that's why maybe I'll sit in a visit when you come and I'll be quiet and I can't cope or something like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most important things too with my writing is that people know they're not alone as well.
Yes.
So they will read. Sorry, they can't hear my writing.
No.
But they will read my writing.
Unless it's read.
Oh, well, yeah. They will read the writing and they'll go, oh my God, other people feel the same way.
And I just comment there too that let's note that when what Stacey's describing, yes, it is also assisting fellow trans people who are part of the, who are under, rather, the systems of incarceration and probation and the like and policing. But they also, just through their own expression, as a human being, the benefits extend far beyond trans prisoners. You know, trans people in custody. So, you know, it's an example, I think, a prime example of how our audibility, you know, so to speak, also extends to benefiting just the wider community. This is Caleb, who is a drag artist and non-binary person.
Hi, everybody. My name is Cerulean, in drag, pronouns she, they, or out of drag, Caleb, they, them. And yes, I am a working drag artist and community member. I guess drag has always been the part of that gender diverse group of people back in the day. I guess a lot of people didn't have many words to describe how they felt inside. And what I've found with a lot of friends of mine is that they found their trans or gender diverse identities through drag. It gives you a space to explore your identity and like how you want to look or how you feel inside. Drag really gives you that tool to be able to do that. You're kind of constantly learning how to exist, really, yes, within society. And it's like so important. You kind of feel like you know a lot more than the younger people coming up. It just feels like stuff that you need to pass down, especially like being a First Nations person. There's a lot of pathways that aren't really carved yet that you kind of have to carve your own.
Yes.
But especially when it comes to community, you kind of want to bring some people along, like so everyone can rise together and like learn how to be and do. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just putting it into words, but.
No, that's what radio is.
Yeah.
you're doing your job.
Thank you. Oh, God.
Let's put things into words, into the microphone, otherwise all is silence.
Yeah.
Yes, and indeed Caleb was doing a much better job than I think they thought they were doing at the time, which, you know, we all feel when we got the mic in front of us, don't we? again, some fresh perspectives around visibility there. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm seeing the kind of the contrast of how brave you have to be visible.
Yeah.
And how much effort that takes and how scary that is, and that there are so many ways to be visible.
Yeah, and in that sense, it's also just in terms of how hard it is, it's an act of resistance.
Existence is resistance.
Existence is resistance.
Yeah, yeah. And being visible and audible at the same time is a way of existing.
Well, yeah, even like if you're not at that stage or if it's not something that you want to do, being visible, being audible,
yeah,
you just existing is enough. Like that's my take.
Yeah.
Well, people are so loud and so proud and so out there so that those who don't feel comfortable to be so loud and out there can exist without having to be the person.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
That totally makes sense.
Does it? Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, like you're part of the loud, out, visible community, even if you yourself aren't out loud and visible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what would we say to, say, Rianne and Mai view that they are coming, you know, for our happiness. So not just our freedom, but also just our happiness.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, they don't want us to exist. Mm. And not that existence is necessarily happiness, but if you take away existence, there's no chance at happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that this is where the politics in the US is at the moment. They're not actually winning when it comes to, you know, erasing us from public life. But I think they have successfully so far, reduced the level of happiness amongst transgender, diverse and non-binary people in their country. What would, am I on point here?
Or? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
First time for everything.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Thank you. I feel affirmed there.
I'm glad.
Madison is a broken clock. Yes. Lovely. On that wonderful note, would you like to say anything, Oscar?
I was going to ask if I could swear, but I don't think I can.
No, you can't. This is weekend daytime radio, my friend.
F them. FM.
Oh, that's even that.
Oh no. Okay. Well, never mind then.
Oh,
move on.
See that? I've got my finger on the kill button. Yeah.
All right. No comments from me then.
Well, I think we got the sentiment. No, I think that's absolutely right. Yeah.
100%. If you want to flip that, then you know, raise yourself up.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So what we'll also, this is particularly interesting, I think. That's why I've included it, I suppose. But you know, otherwise, why would I include it? But we're going to listen to the Wicked Women comments around trans visibility. So Wicked Women is a photo exhibition which is based around the zine of the same name in the 1990s. Now, the key thing here from the perspective of trans visibility and audibility is that, you know, I think this would have to be one of the quintessential examples of being visible. You've been photographed. You've been photographed in nudity and sex-positive ways and then being exhibited. Now, it goes across the spectrum of queer women, but the representation of transgender, diverse and non-binary women of all kinds, AFEB, trans mask people, assigned female at birth mask people, assigned male at birth, trans women, non-binary people, it's actually really strong. And that will be shown, I think, in these really pertinent points that people raise about being visible in this way.
So now I'm revisiting that time, wanting to recreate some of those images and capture some of that energy of that era. And so I put a call out in the community through social media and heaps of people responded. We've got like 30 people responded.
Lovely.
Absolutely trans inclusive, lots of dykes, lots of trans mask and trans femme. I'm working with an amazing photographer who's been around the traps for about 3 decades as well, Jamie James, who's famous for photographing trans, doing quite a few photographic series, trans mask people in Sydney. So we've got different, different body shapes and sizes, different ethnicities. We've got disability. Visibility now is more prevalent, and these conversations are much more prevalent in our community now, and which is progress, right? Like that's a really beautiful thing. And I think also trans mask visibility and trans femme visibility is a lot higher now, and I really want to emphasize that trans people have been around. We've been around forever, right?
Yes, indeed.
So I think it's really important that we embrace and that we learn and share our history with each other, and it gives us a strong sense of community and a strong sense of belonging.
Jasmine, they, them.
Eva, she, her. I think it's important to get kind of new bodies as well captured in the same way that these 90s queer archival images of just kind of a quick snapshot of like the new community as well, and kind of keeping these images within the community. I think it's quite important for history and just yeah, it feels very special. I think even just like us showing up today as well is kind of special and powerful for ourselves in terms of just like stepping into your wicked womanness. Yeah.
And embracing, you know, that archival, like queer archival, and especially as women of color, like,
yeah,
it's so important to bring that to the forefront as well, because, you know, it's, there's so many beautiful different bodies, different people of color, and we have such a broad community. It's important to showcase that, you know, especially today in the, you know, day and age that we live in. It's important to see more variety in faces and people in something like this. We're constantly facing erasure. People don't want us to love ourselves, love our identity, or express our identity. And I think leaning into it and reclamation of something like this is so important to remind us of who we are and where we come from.
Completely, yeah. Consistently being staunch to who you are as well, and not being, yeah, without any reservations.
Yo, I'm Madison Moffat on 3CR, and I'm with the legendary Jax. Welcome.
Great to be here.
Explain yourself. Why are you and I once again in the same building?
They can't keep us apart. Queer activism, my friend. I'm proudly disabled and trans and queer, and I was really keen to be part of it because I wanted to see some disability representation in some of the modern day images. So it was really lovely to have a hot pash on the floor of the studio while queers wrangled our two young children. For me, it's about being political and proud of who we are and the different ways that we've made our family, and bringing our kids up with a queer lens on what it means to exist in the world. So, you know, we have a lot of rainbow flags and trans pride flags at home, but we also take them to queer events and to queer things to give them queer culture and give them a sense of queer pride and trans pride and belonging in community. And I feel like this reboot, this shoot, is all about bringing community together and, yeah, and having kids here as part of that and having them part of this moment is really lovely and important.
So that's just some fantastic commentary there. Just absolutely nailing it in terms of getting to the heart of what visibility means, you know, from all angles. And last and most certainly not least, a short clip from Ameo Leota Lu. Now, they're a Fafafine person, and we were talking at the time, myself, Sasha Sidek, and Amoa were talking about sisterhood. But then Amoa shared something really quite pertinent around the privilege that we, I think, sometimes need to check if we're, you know, come from the colonialist family, because being seen is not necessarily when the dominant culture is not your culture, not necessarily as easily done as said.
What I see myself personally, it's just a whole different cultural dynamic.
Yeah.
When you go to different cultures, you know, cultures do different things and they may not align with you. And I found that sometimes it can be challenging.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've had to kind of do some kind of code switch, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going into this world. I've got to kind of operate and do this.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my own cultural world.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a whole different scenario. Yeah. And we, you know, as trans people, we've just had to rise up to the occasion, every occasion and any occasion,
yeah,
and do what befits our own individual selves.
Yeah, I mean, I found that really compelling. It's a short clip, but I thought, you know, it was really important to include. So the three of us, I'm making assumptions here, so correct me if I'm wrong. All three of us are not people with a POC background, a person of color background. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like big colonialist. Horribleness in my family's history.
Yeah, well, my family on my mother's side were actually squatters in New South Wales back in, you know, the 19th century, early 19th century. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the people that without government approval went out and started taking chunks of land, crown land, from the Hunter Valley. And one of the things that they did was just absolutely appalling. You know, genocide of the First Nations people, that the way they saw it got in their way. Yes, it's just awfulness, a lot of awfulness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so what reflections and what could we learn perhaps from what Amayo Leota Liu had to say in terms of that?
I mean, it's something to really be aware of your privilege if you do just live in colonialist society, have a colonialist background, that maybe you're creating an environment where somebody from a different cultural background can't code switch so easily and shouldn't have to code switch to begin with, in my opinion.
No, if we're going to... I mean, a real sense of visibility and an environment of invisibility needs to be, to the fullest extent possible, I think, a priori inclusive.
Mm, and, I mean, that even comes back to what Jax was saying as well, of disability as another sort of identity that needs to be visible as part of being trans.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's not true visibility unless it's intersectional.
Hugely.
When I say that, I think, you know, the colonialist view of that would be a quota, you know. Let's look at how many different types of people were represented. Okay. Yes, we achieved that. Therefore, we achieved inclusivity. And, you know, I know that in the corporate background, that's often how it's done.
Oh, right? Hugely.
You know, but it's actually a mode. What was the term that you used about visibility, something, be a process of some kind, Oscar. It was
I've
very
said
profound.
A lot of things in my time.
Yeah, but today, yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyway, it was brilliant, whatever it was, and I remember it without remembering the words. But you know, it's actually more a process. It's not just an outcome. Mm. And you know, I think that the key way I think that we can do that is by not actually determining the process ourselves. You know, the whole point to inclusivity, I think, is that people, everyone from their varying intersections, all have a say in the process of visibility.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, or both of you have, you know, experience in, you know, trying to make this actually happen in queer spaces. Any thoughts? Say from a practical perspective? Yeah, it's tough.
It is. It's really tough. It's a tough thing to articulate, and especially coming from such a place of privilege. Like, I'm on the radio right now. I get to be in this major city, sitting at this desk, having this conversation.
Massive platform.
Huge. And, like, there is part of me that is like, I shouldn't be here. This spot should be for somebody else, someone.
Off you go.
You know, yeah, I'll head out. But, like, yeah, it's this difficult balance of recognizing intersectionality and your own privileges at the same time and carrying all of the weights.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping to carry other people's as well.
Yes.
And being able to allow other people to carry yours, because asking for help is so difficult.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know that between the three of us, there are a range of intersectionalities with queerness that we together, you know, do represent. But I think that with Queering the Air, over time, we need to make sure that be it through co-presenters or be it through guest presenters and through, you know, expert guests, we do our darndest to ensure as a process that more and more people from a wider and wider cross-section of and intersections across the queer community get to have their say.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very much agreed.
Okay, this has been Queering the Air on 3CR, Radical Radio, 855 AM. And we're always wrap up with a song. And I thought that a rather joyful song that we could finish with is the 1985 hit by Lana Pele, from one of the few open trans performers of their time at the time, called Pistol in My Pocket. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.